completed Parshat Chayesara, which we've defined as the completion of the first stage, which in other words means the Ptira, death of Avram and Sarah, the first stage of the development, the building blocks in creating Klal Yisrael, the 71st of the nation, in Sefer Bereshit. And that takes us into Parshat Toldot. I'm reading the first Pasuk, look inside please, Perek Hafei, Pasuk Yutet. Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak Bein Avraham, Avraham Oledet Yitzchak. Ve'ele Toldot, these are the Toldot of Yitzchak Ben Avraham, Avraham Oledet Yitzchak, a strange Pasuk. But in any case, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak Ben Avraham, a Pasuk which is clearly comparing itself with, or coming from, or contrasting itself with which other Pasuk?
Noah.
We'll touch upon that soon. It's much, much, much closer.
Avraham.
What? The last paragraph. Remember, I always think paragraphs. Parashat Tzuchot M'stimot. Look backwards in the closing paragraph, the closing parasha of Parashat Chayesara, Perek Hafei, Pasuk Yudbet. Ve'ele toldot Yishmael ben Avraham, asher yalda Hagar ha-Mitzrit, shifrat Sarah l'Avraham. Next paragraph, ve'ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. This is a classic example of how crucial it is to examine a parsha with this more global perspective, a more holistic perspective, which the display of Parsha Petuchot Miskimot, which like a Tanakh, Koran, your Jerusalem Bible, or your art scroll, Chumash, will present in front of you, where you see the breakdown. Because if it's one long list of psukim, you're not going to be picking up on it. Ve'ele toldot Yishmael ben Avraham, asher yalda Hagar ha-Mitzrit, shifrat Sarah l'Avraham, and on, these are the toldot of Yishmael, versus, this leads into a new parsha, ve'ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Before we go on, and very much being that it's also the actual title, name, identity of our coming parsha that we're entering right now, that is toldot, let's define, how would you define the concept of toldot or toladot in Torah? How would you define toldot? Toladot, we know that it has expressions also in halacha, but here, how would you define toldot? Eile toldot Yishmael ben Avraham versus Eile toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, maze toladot.
What?
Either one. One word will be, if it's in fact a good definition, it will be encompassing in it everything else, and if you're going to be bringing a lot of words, you're going to be focusing on the branches. Either one is fine.
Branches,
fine. Branches, yes, sir.
I don't know if it's right, but you mean for like legacy also.
What?
Like legacy or like what they left.
Yafeh, what they left. Uh-huh. In the most shot level, what does toldot mean? How do we take it?
Offsprings.
Toladot, leholid, laledet, leida. Toladot, that which you give birth to, your offsprings. And then the most pashut level, that's where we look at it. Ve'ele toldot Yishmael ben Avraham. In fact, in Perek Hafei, Pasuk Yudbet, when we gave the toldot of Yishmael, it's in fact a list of offsprings, descendants. Ve'ele shmot b'nei Yishmael b'shmotam. Next pasuk, Pasuk Yudgimel, please see it inside. The toldotam, again that term. B'chol Yishmael, nevayot, ekeidah, ve'ele mifsam, mismah, v'dumah, v'samah, chadad, v'teimah, yetur, nafish, v'kedma. Ele hem b'nei Yishmael, ve'ele shmotam, v'chatzrem, v'tirotam, shneim asar, nisi'im lo'obotam. 12 princes that make up the descendants of Yishmael. So here, toldot in the list of Yishmael are clearly descendants. However, Avi and somebody else mentioned before, maybe it was Yaakov as well, that we do find this term, Ve'ele Toldot, in another place in the beginning of another parsha in Sefer Bereshit, and that is
Noah.
In the beginning of Noah. But there, we see that it's not so simple. In fact, Chazal, Rashi brings it down, and that's a very famous Rashi, emphasize what Toldot is about. What does it say there? Ve'ele Toldot Noah. Noach, Ish, Tzadika, Tamim, Ayavadavotav. Rashi runs into the unspoken question, and that is, what's the problem with that? It doesn't give a list of descendants. If you are limiting your definition of Toladot to offsprings, so the Eile Toldot Noach, Noach, Ish, Tzadik, Tamim, Ayavadavotav, Et Elokim, Italech, Noach, and then, only then, we go on to his descendants, Toladot in the physical sense of offsprings, says Rashi, there's a problem over here. That's why Rashi goes and says there, Ikar toldotehem lelalavetcha shikar, I hope I'm quoting correctly, Ikar toldotehem shel tzadikim mitzvot u'ma'asim tovim. That the Ikar toladot of a tzadik in the world is his mitzvot and ma'asim tovim, his good actions in this world. Which means then that we have to rephrase our definition of toladot, and that is toladot on the one hand would mean in the sense of, let's say, call it offsprings or banim, lashon leida, but toladot is also good actions you leave in this world. And therefore, I think of everything that was said, the most encompassing of terms that was used, I think is what Barry said. What did you say, Barry?
What they left.
Exactly. I think it's a very, very, very good way to put it. That which a person leaves in the world, his eternal side that stays here after he, as a, let's call it a phenotype, as an individual, leaves, that which he leaves here in this world, that's his toladot. His contribution to history, if you wish. It can be in the form physically, in terms of offsprings. It doesn't have to be. In fact, Medrash Tanchuma, I think on Parashat Noach, if I'm not mistaken, maybe somewhere else, goes and gives a big nechama for people who left the world without children. And often we find a lot of stories about actually great Gdolei Yisrael who never were zochet to children. For example, in Shari Ches, the neighborhood and the schus to live in for a few years, Shmuel Orbach, the big Shlita, great son of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zatzal. Rosh Hashiva in Shari Chesed, what are the Gdolei Yisrael today? Anyways, but there's a very big nechama in that medrash, and that's exactly the point. That the core of it is quoted in that Rashi. The person who leaves this world without children, he was a tzaddik, he should be consoled with the fact that there is greater imprints that one leaves in this world than just offsprings, and that is his effect in the world, his name in the world, his good deeds in the world, that can go way beyond, which is exactly what that Rashi is saying. But in any case, going back to our topic, then when we're saying and contrasting toladot Yishmael and the toladot of Ve'ele toldot Yitzchak, and we're contrasting it with Ve'ele toldot Yishmael, they're not exactly the same. Each, we're presenting them and we're comparing them, we're contrasting them as each one in terms of what was his contribution in the world. What did he leave in the world? What was his imprint in the world? Or what did he leave for history? So when it comes to Ishmael, it's a list of descendants. B'nai Ishmael, if you wish. Shtemis l'nisim. When it comes to Ele Toldot Yitzchak, there's a lot more that goes into it. That being that we're dealing with a tzaddik, there are a lot of mitzvot and ma'asim tovim. So we're not just giving a list of individual descendants, though we're going to be going into it soon, that is that the birth of Yaakov and Esav, of course. But this is all within Ele Toldot Yitzchak, which is really going to be going on for a while, which we'll see soon. Before we go on, what I'm about to say now is Mamash and Brackets, just an interesting anecdote. I don't have a source for it. I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere. But interesting food for thought. Look at it as brackets. In a few minutes, we're going to go back to our topic of discussion, that is the Parsha Toldot. Just in terms of what Yishmael leaves in this world. It will sound that I'm totally going off track. You'll see soon where I'm going towards. Interestingly enough, when you examine the three biggest insults to Judaism, to compare it to its daughter religions, claim to be their daughter religions, the other two great monotheistic religions, Islam and Christianity, but when you examine the three monotheistic religions, you see that they differ, amongst other things, with three different systems of, borrowing again like yesterday something from our cycle of the year sharing, three different systems of referring to, perceiving or defining time. Okay? So, Christians will define time by what? Just totally by the solar calendar. There's no expression to the lunar calendar in the Goyish or the Roman or the later on to become the Christian calendar. There's basically the 365 days, which we artificially break down with no expression in nature, of course, to 12 slices, which are the Goyish months, the Christian or Roman, the Christian months, which is just a borrowed term from the lunar system. But there's no real segments of months for the solar system. 365 divided more or less by 30, 31. And that's how we get to the system of the solar system. Christians count time, define time, only by the sun. The Muslims, on the other hand, only by the moon. There's no correlation to the sun at all. they only have the month of the moon to count by, and which is exactly why, being that it's not in sync with the changing seasons, which are, of course, under the control of the sun. So therefore, what we find is that their months in relationship to the seasons move around. So the Ramadan, most significant month for the Muslims, which we just they just came out of, moves around in the year because it's not in sync with the solar system. Then comes Judaism, and defines time or counts time by
both.
Right, both by the moon, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, but in accordance with the sun, meaning by both together, with a system that assures that the two work together and that the changing months have to work in coordination with the changing seasons. And then within 3 years, plus minus 3 to 4 years, where you basically see, later on you have the luach, it's built into the luach, that they're running out of sync, Beitin has to add another month, a Shana Mu'beret, an extra month, in order to make sure that the changing seasons of nature and the unfolding of the month of the moon of the year are going hand in hand together. There's a lot to go into. There's a lot to be said. It's not the topic of our shiur. Why am I mentioning it? Because of the following. Consider the following. The fact that we count time predominantly by HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, by the moon, but in accordance with the sun, is really actually embedded into the actual makeup or structure of Klal Yisrael. What do I mean by that? Because in terms of the prototype structure of Klal Yisrael, which Sefer Bereshit is going to be developing soon, we're going to be going into it in a couple weeks, even less. And that is, he who is going to be turning into the prototype Yisrael, who is that? Yaakov Avinu, who is going to be switching his name to Yisrael. So Yaakov, or if you wish, Yisrael, in the middle. And he has 12 sons. Imagine it's 12, okay? Sons around him. Okay. Now this system of Yaakov in the middle and 12 sons around corresponds, I'm not going to go too much into it, into the sun with its 12 reflections of 12 different segments of months throughout a year. And for an example, when the Parshat Vayetze, where Yaakov goes out to Haran, and he on the way he stops in Haran Moriah, so it says there, Vayalen Sham Kiba Hashemesh. Vayalen Sham, right, famous pasuk, Vayalen Sham Kiba Hashemesh, he slept there, he put his head down on his rocks, Vayalen Sham Kiba Hashemesh. Interesting medrash, I think there are a few parallel midrashim that say that what is Kiba Hashemesh? So shot-wise, of course, it means because he slept there because when he got there, the sun set. But the Medrash goes and says a deeper level, there's a deeper level of drash beyond that pshat, and that is, Kibah HaShemesh, all the stones start saying, wow, Kibah HaShemesh, the sun is coming. Here comes the sun. Who's the sun? Yaakov Avinu. By the way, in the dream of Yosef, Yaakov is also the sun. But there's many, the core of the matter is deep, and I don't want to go into it right now. But in any case, Yaakov is like the provider, the totality, out of which 12 spices come out of, in the form of 12 shvatim, which correspond in our sources, and Bali Kabbalah definitely for sure talk about it, I speak about it in our cycle of the year, Shurim, the 12 months that correspond to the 12 shvatim. In the same way that time as a whole breaks down into 12 segments of 12 months, the space of Eretz Yisrael is going to be breaking down into segments of 12 shvatim. And the totality of that is Yaakov. Just like the totality of time is the year. And the breakdown of segments is the months of the year. So, now, but it's not enough for the system to work, again, without going into the depth of the meaning of it, but it doesn't work if we're just going to have 12 shvatim. So in fact, towards the end of Sefer Bereshit, what do?
Split one up.
We split one up into two. And that results with being able to look at the one Shevet, which is Yosef, as having two variations in it, or in Ephraim and Manasseh, in a way we have 13 months, Shvatim, I'm sorry. But that's exactly what happens with the Shana Meuberet. It's really 12 months, but with the possibility, if necessary, of that 13. The problem in time that Islam has, and I haven't even defined anything, that's a lot of food for thought which I don't claim to have clarity about. What's the deeper relationship between Christianity and sun, and Islam and only moon? versus La'avdil, Judaism, Torah, and the relationship between the two. It's a lot to think about. But in any case, just interestingly enough, and again, I don't have any source for that, and this is all in brackets, but when it comes to Yishmael, just like Klal Yisrael has 12, later on, 12 Nisi'im for the 12 Shvatim, Yishmael also has, we just saw, 12 Nisi'im, not 13, but 12 Nisi'im, and that correspond to the 12 months that they have. So I'm giving it as an anecdote, possible anecdote, and as food for thought. But in any case, going back to our topic, and that is Toldot Yishmael versus Toldot Yitzchak. So Toldot Yishmael is a pretty short presentation, again, of physical offsprings, descendants, Bnei Yishmael. Toldot Yitzchak is a much more elaborated than just descendants. There's a lot of content, stories, interaction, interplay, friction that goes into it. In fact, if this is an opening title, how long of a piece is this first pasuk of the parsha an introduction to? Saying Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Olidit Yitzchak, as being an opening pasuk for his toladot. How far in the Chumash are we going to be finding really the unfolding of the toladot of Yitzchak? In contrast to the short presentation of the Toldot of Ishmael,
right. Avi. All the way.
Be a little more precise.
Shabbat.
Ari?
Until Yaakov.
Until Yaakov, right. Look inside quickly, please. In the end of Parsha, just in terms of the structure of Sefer Bereishit as a whole, on that level of discussion, open up in the Sefer Parsha Vayishlach, later on, a few more Parshiyot down, in Parsha Vayishlach, which is... Perek Lamed Vav in Bereishit, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 36, Pasuk 1. What's this thing with Wednesday that people just don't show up? Last week was the same thing. It used to be that Thursdays people not show up, so we decided to cut down Thursday. So now we cut down on Wednesday then. Somebody can please remind me on a Sunday shiur to make a point that there's a shiur that takes place also on Wednesday. So, yes.
What was the paragraph
again? What? By the way, I don't have any problem. I prefer a smaller size group like this, honestly. But if people come, I need the same group to be here. I can't have a tachanamer because if the people come, the groups come and go. It has to be a set group. I prefer it to be smaller. So, anyways.
What?
Take it as a compliment.
What, that it's smaller now?
No, that it's only people come.
Perfect. It's a better dynamics than a such group.
Which parent?
Thank you. Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Here we give the descendants of somebody who's not, definitely not one of the Lamed Vav. Well, it's the Christian breakdown of the text, so maybe that's why they decided to such. Ve'ele toldot Esav hu Edom, right? The end of Parshat Vayishlach ends off just like Parshat Chayesara finished off with Ele toldot Yishmael and brought Parsha of Chayesara to an end and selected away Yishmael. Parshat Vayishlach ends off with longer, yet a closure of Ve'ele toldot Esav hu Edom, and that's going to be sending him away. Leading into Parshat Vayeshev, skip please the Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. It's true that it's only in the second Pasuk, Vayeshev Yaakov Veretz Megurei Aviv Veretz Na'an, Ele Toldot Yaakov Yosef Ben 17 Shana. The same exact structure. Just like in that previous generation, we have the selection between Yitzchak and Yishmael to be presented as Ve'ele Toldot versus Ve'ele Toldot. Next stage is going to be also Ve'ele Toldot Esav versus next stage, Ele Toldot Yaakov. And again, it's going to be the same thing. Ele Toldot Esav is going to be a list of descendants. Ele Toldot Yaakov is going to be the whole story. And this time, more like what Avi said before, it's going to take us really all the way to the end of Sefer Bereishit. But, so back to my question from before, back to opening of Parsha Toldot. Go back to Parsha Toldot. Parsha Toldot, starting off, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Olidit Yitzchak, it's an opening pasuk for everything that's going to be happening in Parsha Toldot, everything that's going to be happening in Parsha Vayetze, and everything happening in Parshas Vayishlach until we get to the actual death of Yitzchak, which is just prior to Ve'ele Toldot Esav Ha'Edom. Just like in by Avram. Avram dies, right afterwards Yishmael dies, and we say Ve'ele Toldot Yishmael. Same thing also afterwards. Yitzchak dies, leading into Ve'ele Toldot Esav, leading into Ve'ele Toldot Yaakov. It's exactly the same type of presentation. This is crucial to see in terms of the overview of Sefer Bereshit, just structure-wise, before going and discussing it. So, being that that's the case, going into Parsha Toldot as a whole. So, as we've done with other Parshiyot, let's first title, what are the topics? How many inyonim, how many topics are there in Parsha Toldot? Parsha Toldot. How many pieces would you break down the Parsha to? not exactly.
Looks like two.
Four. Well, this is where I'm going to be. There's going to be a very short little paragraph in the middle, which I'm not going to be mentioning, referring to. I won't justify referring to as a topic in the parsha, and that is Perek Kavav Pasuk Lamed Daled and Lamed Hey, the closing two pasuk in Perek Kavav. But let's reduce it to three, and that is the opening top story of the parsha is the Leida. Let's call it Leidat Yaakov and Esav, and the conflict over
the birthright. Conflict,
birthright, which is in Hebrew, Vechora. Right? I always prefer Ketiv Chaser. Just like as the text of the Torah does. Bechora. And the fight over Bechora. We go into the next topic of the Parsha, and that is a pretty long chunk in the middle, which we actually discussed already, and I'm not going to go into discussing again, and that is Avimelech. We can call it Avimelech 3 if you wish, because we had Avimelech 1 and 2 by Avram Avinu, and Parsha Vayera, Avimelech, if you want, Avimelech 3, to remind us that it's a replay with so many of the same details, extraordinary similarity, almost ridiculously similar in terms of Avimelech, he sees Yitzchak, the beautiful wife, and almost takes her, and then the whole story with the Be'erot, which is here more extensive, but actually, for sure, definitely, no, that brings out the inyanim with the Be'erot between Avram and Avimelech, and ultimately leading to Be'er Sheva, and just like Avram needed to name the place Be'er Sheva, where they made an agreement, Yitzchak also has the name the same place. Again, Beersheba, because of again of an agreement. We've spoken about this, we didn't define well enough, we left it open. We saw that clearly both Avram and separately Yitzchak have to confront with Plishtim to bring about a leading towards Beersheba, with all that it represents and hints behind it in terms of the Sikhs from Malchut, etc. Okay, that's Avimelech / Plishtim 3. We spoke about this. Be'er Sheva. Okay. And then comes the third topic in the Parsha, and that is back to Yaakov and Esav. Yitzchak is back in, I wouldn't say so much, but a little bit more in the background now. And Yaakov and Esav and their conflict over, this time, the Bracha. Yaakov and Esav fighting over the Bracha. Okay, so being that we've spoken about this already, and being that our topic of discussion is really Yaakov and Esav as the birth in the next stage in Bereshit, we have here a two-chapter conflict between, or conflict of two stages between Yaakov and Esav, one revolving around Bechorah and one revolving around Bracha, and one does not have to be too sensitive of an ear to wonder about the relationship between the two, and clearly, whatever the relationship between the two is, putting the two together, Bechorah and Bracha, is at the core of the quarrel, fight, and conflict, of the very intense conflict between Yaakov and Esav, the two twins, Bechorah and Bracha. The truth of the matter is, Esav himself hints to the relationship between the two words somewhat. Please, if you look inside, please, in Perek of Zayin Pasuk Lamed Vav, when Esav cries out, when he notices that Yaakov was able to cheat him away and take the bracha, not just the bechorah. He puts the two together, and he says, Perek, chapter 27, pasuk 36. This is inside. Ve'yomer, hachi kara shmo Yaakov ve'yakveini ze pa'amayim. He activated his name Yaakov twice. He held me back twice. Et bechorati lakach ve'ine ata lakach birchati. Okay. Now, so we're talking about the Lashon HaKodesh. Two words comprised of the same building blocks. Yes, I am hinting to the fact that Lashon HaKodesh is viewed in Chazal as a completely different quality of a language than other languages that claims to describe the essence of things and not a social agreement as a title for any object in the world. Rather, that when you combine together a few letters, each of which represents a concept or a meaning or an identity, and combine a few of those letters as building blocks, as Sefer Yetzirat Kabbalah refers to it actually, into a house, which is comprised of building, which is already the word, the teva, it's already combined meaning, comprised of its building blocks, which are the letters. And if you look at the Hebrew language as such, so any two shorashim who share the same building blocks, you can expect enough similarity, enough for you to go and ask, what's the relationship between the two words? That which you cannot do in any other language. We never, ever claim in English that there is any relationship between the letter F, A, T, H, E, and R to father. We could just as well have chosen mother to describe father. Just in order for us to communicate, we need to agree upon a term. Okay? When it comes to Av, as opposed to that, Av is Aramaic, by the way. Av, sorry, easy example to show things. The word Av is chosen to, not chosen, it is the description, the expression in letters of the essence of what a father is about, where the letter Aleph is a letter that its essence is about beginning, origin, the first. And Bet is about the second, that which comes after, that which comes as a result or from the source, the second one to the source. When you take Aleph and you join to it Bet in this order, it brings about the concept of a father, of an Av. Okay, one simple example of the way Lashon HaKodesh claims to work. And on the level of Pshat, you won't have such perspective. The deeper your sources and the more Kabbalistic the sources, the more that's the way Lashon HaKodesh is going to be viewed. Again, as letters which are building blocks, which build up houses. Avanim habonim et habatim. So then, anyways, so Bechora and Bracha. What do they have in common? The letters, the building blocks, their order is reverse, but they share here something. What is it that they're sharing? Yes, I'll think you're first.
You're talking about in terms of blessings, wise, so you're talking about...
Conceptually.
Well, it's a blessing to be a firstborn, as we know. In terms of you, those of you who work in the basic English...
You get an extra share, deeper than that, you're right, deeper. What did the concept of Bechorah and the concept of Bracha share at their core? There is a common denominator between both, which they're both branches of one entity. There's a difference. There's a change in order. Yes, Stadia.
Wasn't the bracha supposed to be for the Bechor? Wasn't Yitzchak giving the bracha to the Bechor?
At the depth of what's lying over here, definitely. It's obvious, emphasizing those, and that is, I basically alluded to it before, and that is, come to see that the Bechor and the Bracha are joined together. And the Bracha and the Bracha is, the Bracha goes to the Bechor ultimately.
Well, Yaakov didn't trick Yitzchak at all. He bought the Bechor when he tricked him the first time.
On a conceptual level, you're right. But on a pshat level, it was two different stages. Esav did not consider that from his perspective, you can claim from his shallow perspective, and Yaakov couldn't claim to him, well, you weren't aware of what you were doing, we were selling the Bechor, because we were really selling the Bracha along with it, on a deep level. But I mean, it's more, look at the thing as a more on surface, where two separate. That's a valid question. What does Bechor mean? I think what Avi said is the beginning of relating to it. Yes, Daniel.
Could it be because when you have a your first child, it's like a it's like a blessing. It's a blessing towards that couple. It seems like it's like talking about offspring.
Let me develop what Daniel said. We said that told the left behind, or Yishma, there was really nothing there, but with Yaakov there was much to do, there was much to go there. And that means that the child is a continuation of an actual thing more than just children, which is part of it.
Let me develop this. So the thing is as such. If you check the numerical value over here, by the way, of the Bechor and Bracha, Bet Kaf Reish or Bet Reish Kaf, there's something here that's all going along the lines of two. I think the Maharal talks about this.
Sure. He takes out the hay?
What?
He takes out the hay?
We're talking about the Shorash. The Shorashim. Oh, right. We're not talking about the word.
Oh.
Two. There's something about the twos over here. Now, what the two is, along the lines of what we saw before, is that which comes in addition. When the first gets to increase itself, to have more added to it, more so than what it had before. In fact, that's a term we use so much, and there's a lot of ignorance in terms of what it means. The term bracha. We say it all the time, baruch, baruch Hashem. What does it mean to say baruch Hashem? Give it a verse before bracha. Bracha, as Yaakov just said, bracha literally means to increase. That's what bracha means. Such as we say in Halal, Yosef Hashem Aleichem. Yosef Hashem Aleichem. What is Yosef Hashem Aleichem? Hashem will add on to you more, will increase that which you have beyond what you have more. Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Aleichem Ve'al Bneichem, Bruchim Atem LaHashem. The Pasuk itself defines bracha as tosefet. Any tosefet, any bracha, tosefet bracha. Any tosefet is a bracha. Bracha is tosefet, adding more. Yosef Hashem Aleichem. You'll ask me, so then, what's the relationship between the concept of bracha and Yosef HaTzadik? We'll talk about it. Clearly, his name is about adding, right? Yosef. Anyways, but that's what bracha is, adding more. And Bechora, which is exactly what Daniel said before, Bechora is the beginning, is the first stage where the father gets. Bechor makes an individual who is not yet a father into a father. A second son no longer does that. When a father, when an individual human being starts to increase, to add more, and to go beyond himself as an individual, to spread himself and to increase his existence in the form of an offspring, which true, as was said before, he will live here in the world, as Ari said, afterwards, after he leaves, that increasing is expressing itself in the Bechor. There can be further and further banim afterwards, but it's in the Bechor that he becomes a father. He becomes an Av. If you wish, the Aleph goes into the Bet by the Bechor. Anyways, it seems that that's hinted into the, I think tomorrow talks about it, into the these twos over here. Arshnia. In any case, taking all this, and let's use again, or let's translate all this into Bereshit terminology that we've been using all along. And how would you then describe Parsha Toldot? What is Parsha Toldot introducing to us? Using Bereshit terminology, Bechlal, what is Parsha Toldot? Phrase or define, what is Parsha Toldot introducing in front of us? At this point, in terms of the unfolding process that's behind Parsha Sefer Bereshit as a whole,
the beginning is where Bnei Israel is split into Canaan.
No, we don't have Bnei Israel yet. We don't have Bnei Israel yet.
You're jumping the gun a little.
Yes, Ari.
Saying that the first part is truly complete, and now we can make the second part.
What do you mean?
I don't agree with that, but that's what it sounds like.
What?
I feel like. Yitzhak is the second part, and now we're talking about Yaakov, so Yitzhak is the second part. But it sounds like it's saying, now we have one complete part of Abraham, and now we've and now we have another stage in the Yidot.
Clearly we're going at the next stage. Next stage of what? Let's remember the bigger picture that we've begun since the separate versions. Adam, 10 generations to Noah. 10 generations to Abraham. Shem, Ham, Yefet. Lot. Yishmael.
He was the Bechor.
Bnei. Keturah. Sent out to the east. That was yesterday's shir. Okay? And all that he has, Avram gives over to Yitzchak. Bnei Keturah are sent away to the east. You're not going to be in that all proximity with Klal Yisrael. You're not going to be remaining in proximity with Yitzchak. You're not remaining around here. There's not going to be any clash between you and my descendants, my direct descendants, for the rest of history. And there really is a minimal, if anything, maybe in our day and age where so many Jews choose to be Jew-Boos out in California. But other than that, there is very little interaction between, or conflict, or relationship between Jews and Eastern religions. We mentioned it almost in passing yesterday. But Yishmael's given whatever he's given. The Nektuah receive their matanot, whatever spiritual gifts they receive. They're all sent away to the side, and everything goes on to Yitzchak. Okay? This has been the bigger picture of the underlying selection process that's been going on ever since coming out of Gan Eden. If you wish, where Tov and Ra were mixed up, and we're ongoing stage after stage, slice after slice of separating and spreading and choosing at every stage of the game. Until we get, as you remember, to Abraham, the pearl, elements in the pearl have to be polished as well. Yishmael has to be eradicated and removed. Bnei Keturah have to be removed. And then Yitzhak at last can be the one to continue. And here we come to the next stage in the selection process. And that is the question of Yitzhak is going to be continued in Yaakov, or is it going to be continued in Esav? And this is Parashat Toldot. Okay? This is just in terms of putting it into the bigger timeline or framework of Sefer Bereshit. This question mark, this is Parshat Toldot. With its two pieces which complement each other, which Sadia was referring to before. And I agree. With the Bechorah Bracha joining into one question. Who is going to be the one to continue the line? Where? If you want, look at it as such. With the Bechorah Bracha now. Take the concept of Bracha. Avram Avinu was told, the moment he was selected, then lech lecha, go, select yourself, go to your own place, lech lecha, veheyeh, very good, excellent, veheyeh bracha, and you will turn into the actual being of bracha. That's what I'm talking about. Veheyeh bracha, not that you will be mevorach, you will be bracha. You will turn into the actual metziut of bracha. And venivrechu becha kol mishpachot adamah, you will turn into the bracha for the rest of the world. The world will be able to increase and to develop and to reach its ultimate destination through you, as you're going to be putting together the 70 First Nations, which is going to be helping mankind to get to the end of days correctly and to reach a world of tikkun, which is ultimate bracha. Or if you wish, phrase it or rephrase it any way you want, for the world to contain God in its ultimate sense. It's going to be Avram and Judah's descendants bringing God into the world and bringing bracha in all ways to the world. Avraham Avinu becomes, when Hashem at last chooses him, the carrier of bracha in the world, the embodiment of bracha in the world. And the question, and then he gives it over to Yitzchak, and now the question is, who is Yitzchak going to be giving the entity, the mitziut of bracha over? To Yaakov or to Esav? Clearly, once Yaakov is going to be chosen, and Klal Yisrael is going to be formed, where's the bracha specifically going to be given over to?
Yosef,
Levi.
Levi's
the third. You have to get the the bracha, Birkat Kohanim, the whole concept of bracha. It's constantly being more and more focused. That's ultimately Birkat Kohanim. It is that acting out of that koch bracha that was already given over to Avraham Avinu, but we're jumping the gun back to our topic of discussion. Yaakov and Esav. And the question of who's going to be receiving the bracha. Now, seeing it as such, let me ask the following question. Seeing the Toldot as one more stage in the selection process in Sefer Bereshit, what is unique about this stage of selection, contrary as opposed to all other selections till now. Well, did everybody hear the question? Again, what is, we're talking about selection of underlying constant selections of Sefer Bereshit. What is unique about this stage of selection? Yaakov, what did you say?
They're born from the same mother.
At least, you can say that also, Shem, Ham, and Yafet were born from the same mother.
Yeah.
But since we come into the polishing of the, Avi called it, as the polishing of the pearl, from Avram onwards, what we find is, we select Lot away. We select Lot away. What he has in common has no parents, it's only common grandparents. We go on to select Yishmael and Bnei Keturah. What they share is a common mother. We go on to select they who have common mother and common father. That's one thing that we can point out about what's unique about this stage in the selection. What more is unique about this stage of selection?
They choose between themselves. They're both born and they both have the choice even after birth. Whereas the other ones,
they're more actively involved in the choices given. That's a true point. We don't find that by Yishmael and Yitzhak, for example. Okay, it's more like supervised from above or done from above. That's true. I don't think about that one. What else? There's something a little misleading about my question. Yes, sir.
And they're twins also, so it's interesting.
Twins, not just father and mother. We're talking about actually twins. We have to develop it already on Sunday.
Maybe
Ma'od.
The relationship between them is a lot closer.
The relationship between them is a lot closer, being that they're twins. They don't share the same father, same mother. They share the same actual womb. More.
The fact that
what?
Go.
Daniel.
That they, one of them is a hunter and the other one
that's another question. That's already going into content, but before that. This is the last selection in Sefer Bereshit. That's it. So I meant by a little misleading by saying what's unique. It's unique in the sense that it's the last. That's it. Once Yaakov is chosen, I'm not jumping the gun because we all know that he is. There's no, that's it. V'mitato shleima, his bed is all kosher. And nobody is selected outwards. We're not sure about it in the process. We'll see it towards the end in Parsha Vayechi. But this is the final choice. My question is, and we'll continue it on Sunday, why is it that the final choice has to be the choice between those who are most similar, share not just same father, same mother from the same womb, who are actually twins? Bezat Hashem, we'll talk about the common denominator of both on Sunday brunch.
Monday.